Do you hide your keys in your mailbox for friends to pick up? Well, if you do, then you're in good company. Today we'll be taking a closer look at the nuances of everyday interactions that make up the monotony of life. Let's wait for someone to leave the public toilet before wiping your bum. Grab your knitting needles and a blanket because it's time for three old friends to sit around and sew a new patch into their quilt of friendship. So join me, Dion, under the covers with Christian.
Welcome to Patchver.
And Josh.
Welcome to Patchver.
Now, before we get started, I recently went to my nephew's christening. Lovely day. Greek Orthodox Church, which was very interesting. We can have a whole podcast for that.
Can I say, is there such a thing as Greek unorthodox? yeah. I don't even know what Greek Orthodox is.
What is it? I heard it all the time.
You're asking what is the Orthodox component in that? Yeah.
That sounds like that is another podcast.
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Yeah.
Let's do it now.
the point that I wanted to raise was I arrived quite early and got a banging spot right at the front of the church.
Oh.
Like one of those... There's only three
spots.
Yeah, it's parallel park. There's three of them and you're next to the church.
Where the bride gets picked up from.
Yes, yeah. And dropped off. Yeah, yeah. And so I pulled in there thinking, this is very lucky. And as I pulled in, I saw my cousin and her child that was getting christened in the car pulling up as well. Mm. And I thought to myself, is there an obligation on me to give up this spot for them because it's their event? Or do I selfishly get to keep the great spot?
I just say in Jewish culture, what's interesting is that because it's on a Saturday, you're not meant to use electricity or drive or operate any machinery. You're trying to park as far away from the synagogue as possible.
Ah.
And so people think that you've walked. People think that you've walked the synagogue. So like I'd park like 600 meters, get out of my car really quickly when I did it for my bar mitzvah, which you can see me blinking on our social media. But yeah, it's very, very different. So Christian, I've never had that experience before.
Can I ask, is there an accepted street that the fake walkers park in?
There's no accepted street. You're just so ashamed
that
you've driven.
That moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
So ashamed because there's some orthodox people as opposed to unorthodox people like me who have walked from their houses. Okay. But anyway, Christian, I don't know if there is an obligation. What do you think, Josh? What's your Greek Orthodox instinct?
If you caught their eye, you're probably in trouble. But if you didn't see them, I think you're fine. Like if you had got out of your car.
That's weird.
And then you saw them go past looking for a park, I think it's done.
But my instinct.
You were in the car.
Well, driving in to the event, should I have said, this isn't really my event, I'm going to circle at least 100 meters.
Nah, you take the best. Because they should have been there earlier than you. Why are you earlier than them?
Well, they don't control how early I arrive to their child's christening.
But they should be the first people there, 100%. The host of the thing should 100% be there.
Why? They've got the least to do. They're just getting, what happens? They get dipped in water or something?
Yeah. Dipped in oil.
Oh, it's oil. Okay.
Hot oil.
I imagine it's like an ice cream getting dipped in the nuts.
Yeah.
I just take the baby's head, dip it in the nuts.
I really like that idea of dipping the baby in oil and that sound, doo doo doo, you know, deep fryer sound. That's very strange. Josh, just wouldn't you want to be nice on the day of the christening of your nephew?
No, but I'm saying if you're already out of your car and you see them go past, you're not going to be like, call the bumper, go, oh, hey, I'll move my car. Come back around.
It'd be an ultra orthodox and ultra nice thing to do.
I think if they caught you, I'm like, oh, Christian. And like, oh, come on. And you go, yeah, no worries. I think you would do it 100, like easily you would do it.
Yeah. I would, of course.
But I don't think you would chase it down. But I think if they requested it of you, you would do it.
It's quite interesting.
One should do it.
It's quite interesting you should bring this up, Christian, because I can't help but think that this is a very light touch way of you raising an incident.
Does it sound like a parallel?
I think it does, Christian. Mm. About a month ago, I was it was auction day and I was selling my house. Very nervous time. And I didn't have a parking spot for my car. And it's a big, like when people are coming to check out your house, geez, they care about a car spot. And geez, I don't give a shit about having a car spot. Anyway, but I wanted to make sure that on the day, people were like, look, there's no car spot, but there's lots of parking on the street.
Right.
Anyway, I was parking a little bit way from the auction. And I think I saw you rock up, or maybe you messaged me and said, I'm here.
Yeah, so let's set a little bit additional context.
I mean, I'd love to tell the story so it goes in my favor, but yes, please.
No. I'm just adding the part of me coming to Dion's auction to support him.
Yes.
Yeah.
On my way to another event.
Yeah, yeah. So support comes in many forms.
Yeah, yeah.
It's being one person in the audience to support.
Yeah.
It's also not taking up a premium car space.
Well, dummy bit of Christian over here.
Well, I was.
No, no, do not say that. You were not.
No, no, no.
Just to be clear, no. I got no bids on that auction.
You're more worried about the no bids than the illegal dummy bidder.
No, but my thought.
I did a little half scratching of the neck. Great. Just suggestions. Great. Trying to get in people's
on
heads.
On the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the point was that Christian parked there, and I was like, "Do you mind just like
right out front?" Dion sent me the following message.
Great.
Oh, bloody hell! Christian just raised his notebook there.
Feel free to park far away so other people can get spots.
Yeah. So the thought was,
feel free to park. Is that it?
It's what? Not great phrasing. I was nervous. It's a fucking auction.
Hey mate, can you?
Yeah. It was like, can you? Would you have preferred? Would you? Would any phrasing have done it?
No. No. because I think for me it was there's a whole street full of cars.
But you parked opposite my house.
It was a great spot.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is is the reason for me moving.
Yep.
The potential that a buyer gets that spot,
yes,
and goes, wow, great parking or in this area.
Sees an empty spot. It's the fact that they have a good chance of getting a spot.
It's an auction. They know there's like 50 more people there.
But also there's a cafe on the corner and the entire street was full. So me moving.
That's why I said, can you park far away?
Yeah. But I found it to be a strange thing. But I did it. Because in that moment, I was like, it's auction day.
You don't want
anything
to flush to the boy.
The birthday boy says goes.
Yeah.
I get as well. Like, you want everything to be perfect. As best possible as it can be. So I understand. But I think, realistically, I don't think that's making a difference.
But in that moment, can you imagine in that moment?
Oh, you just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
for
just
a friend.
No, and I did.
And you did.
And I parked very far away. Yeah.
No.
And I bid twice.
Oh, no. I don't actually know this. Did you? I don't even know this. Did you end up moving?
I ended up moving.
I feel bad that I don't know that.
That I moved?
Yeah. I wonder who parked there. Maybe it was someone who didn't bid. Like everyone.
Oh, dear.
Shocking.
What a shocking.
Shocking. It all turned out all right.
On that day of your auction,
yep.
I was driving through the area and I noticed two enormous piles of one gravel, you know, just crushed rock.
Yeah.
For a driveway or something.
For a driveway. Just an enormous industrial sized pile.
Yeah, yeah.
And then next to it, an industrial sized pile of mulch.
Oh. Which one would you want to be stuck on a desert island with?
On a desert island made of.
I think humans have an unspoken, profound respect for large piles of things. Because neither was touched. They were in their enormity at the front of someone's house. Why had no one started stealing it?
You know the great, the obvious question is, how on earth do you know that no one had taken any?
Because they're perfect.
They were beautiful. They were beautiful mounds.
So you think it had just been poured?
Untouched. Like, okay, if I'm putting out a platter and I've scooped the hummus.
Yep.
If you arrive at my house
do you think
you can tell whether the hummus has been dipped into?
But it's a different structure.
I'm just asking.
Answer
the question about the hummus.
No, the first thing I thought of was the
relevancy.
The best equivalent to that shape is Mount Fuji in Japan. And I'm thinking a lot of people climb up Mount Fuji and it still retained its shape.
If someone took a dip out of Mount Fuji.
Yeah, well, there you go. That makes more sense.
Would you be able to tell?
But so you think the respect, why do you think that respect Mount Fuji?
I'm just surprised that we can have these enormous piles of things.
Oh.
But they remain untouched and they're useful. Right. Crushed rock, mulch.
The interesting thing for me is like it's kind of weird that there's nothing else where they just come and literally dump a truckload of it. Like, but where do you want it? There, yeah. I guess. And it just gets dumped out
the front.
Yeah,
but
so
I know
true.
What you mean because what if someone's going to steal that? Is it in your interest to be like, oh, I'll get a few shovels full and put it in my wheelbarrow? You know what I mean? It's like,
wait, say that again.
If you're a thief.
Yeah.
And you see a pile of mulch.
And you've got a shovel and a wheelbarrow
with
you.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Are you going to go, I'll come back in the night.
Oh.
Surely.
Get a tarp in the boot, do a few shovels worth, and then piss off.
Well, do you know what
people
I did?
People must take it, right?
People must, right?
But is that...
But there's always these big mounds of it.
But would you like to live in a world where people can take it? Because it's a massive mound of mulch.
No, because presumably you've got it. But why do you need to need it?
But why? But you don't need. You don't necessarily need that amount of mulch.
This is coming from someone who steals mulch.
But that's why they ordered that much mulch, because that's you don't put an overflow.
Okay.
You don't do 10% extra for theft.
No, but hang on. But they're also not weighing out the mulch perfectly. You asked
for two. Are?
No,
what are you talking about? You asked the business.
Now, hang on.
Anything business? No.
It's not like potato cakes.
You know how? No, I know.
Looks good enough.
I've put a bit of extra mulch in the bag for you, mate.
Oh mum, cheers. They've got a spare flake in our mulch.
Cha-ching.
Oh God. No, but I feel like I once got 2 cubic meters of soil delivered in front of my house.
Yeah,
and it was a shit ton more. Not a ton, but it was a lot more. They're not. Wait, how accurate do you reckon this is almost a side topic? How accurate do you reckon they are in distributing? Why have you got so much faith in big mulch?
I think what they probably do is maybe use a truck weigh, so they just weigh the whole truck, load it up, and then they see what the difference. It's like tearing a thing. You tear the weight of the truck.
Is a truck weighing a thing?
Yeah, when you do like fantastic. If you do like recycling or like when I had to drop for the election like cardboard boxes off, and you drive your van on, and they weigh your van with all the cardboard in it.
That's great.
You go through, dump it all, you come back, weigh your van again, and then whatever the difference in the weight is what they charge you. But, so I imagine that's how they do it for mulch and gravel.
But do you think that, so in terms of like, yeah, whatever. in terms of people.
I love the one informative part of this podcast. You're like, fuck off, John.
I just want to know the extent of this. So opposite my house, there's a rosemary bush.
There's a free parking spot, we don't have.
And now that it's free, it's easy to get to the rosemary bush. I like sometimes I'll be cooking lamb.
Oh, rosemary.
I'll just go for a little clip.
I'll just go over and have a bit of clip. It's enormous as well.
Yeah, rosemary's free for all.
Rosemary's a free for all.
What about a mound of rosemary, you idiots?
Well, that's a very good point.
Why is it okay?
Why? Because it smells nice.
If you had a plant that could grow mulch and was copious.
Yes.
What, sure. Like a tree?
It's about it being few and far between.
Yeah.
As in 10 cubic meters
of
mulch.
It's a paid product. But what is
what's a paper? So it's rosemary. It's $3 a thing at Coles.
Yeah, but if you plant it, if it's robust and it just lives.
And it grows back.
So does mulch.
It's regenerative.
So does mulch.
Mulch doesn't grow back.
Gravel
does.
But I think this gets to the broader point of, do you feel like you can personally leave things outside of your place, like a delivery, let's say. Yeah.
Or mulch.
and feel safe.
I always do feel a bit nervous sometimes. I feel like I want to live. I live in the inner northern suburbs of Melbourne, and I feel like it's a pretty safe area that I'm like, I can leave that thing out for my friend. It will be fine. Like someone's going to pick something up.
Yep.
Yeah, I can leave that in the mailbox. One I did recently was I was selling a cooler, like a
Esky.
Nah, it's not an Esky. What do you call it? It's like a one you put Gatorade in and then you just got a tap on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Like a small one. I was selling it for like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
And someone was coming and then I was like, I wasn't home. I was like, can you just leave it on the front porch for the guy? And can he just leave the $10 in the mailbox? Mm. And I was like, fingers crossed.
It's only 10 bucks. You wouldn't have done it was 50 though, would you?
Right. That's it. So I was like, no one's going to steal that cooler. So he came, picked it up and he left the $10. And my faith in society was restored.
But the entire system of mail is predicated on the honesty of your neighbor, right?
Yeah.
And the people in your community.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for years.
As a
community send mail to one another with the hope that no one is going
that
through
it
your
sits
mail.
There it's true. And unlocked it.
And the mailbox at my new place, you literally lift a flap and you have access to my mail.
Yeah, it's wild. It's the same at the airport with baggage. You just take anyone's bag, which is what I do. But also, like the other day I had a delivery of like a package, like a big box in the morning. It was a HelloFresh delivery, like full of food. Mm. And I looked at the label and I was like, oh, it's just one house down. I have to take it to them. But I would have loved a miss delivery. That would have been
off.
That would have been perfect.
Can I ask, do you, in dropping it at their place, ring the doorbell, knock on the door, or you just dump it?
I just left it there.
Yeah, okay.
I just left it there. I couldn't be bothered.
So you didn't think about the fact that they didn't know the delivery was there and may have left it outside the whole day.
That's it. Oh, and it was easier because I went over and their door was open. So they were coming in and out. So I just put it there. I couldn't be. And I didn't need to be the good guy that was
didn't
like.
Didn't unpack it into their fridge.
Didn't unpack it in their fridge. Didn't make the meal. And that's the beauty of HelloFresh.
I do feel though, and it might speak to where we live and feeling comfortable in doing that, of even with stuff leaving out on the front porch, we've got a gate. The gate doesn't lock. You can see. It's like 2 meters. So if someone saw something they wanted that was pretty there, easy, they yeah. could very easily
I find
take it.
This yeah. so interesting because even today I went to the market this morning. I had one. We have our little trolley that we bring to the market. I left that because I had bags. I left that outside the front doorstep. I walked my bags to the kitchen and I did it with a spring in my step.
Right?
Because I was scared that in the 13 seconds it took for me ridiculous. To get to the kitchen and back, my trolley would be gone.
Yeah.
At my
it's
front
a weird
door.
Thing. Yeah. And I'm trying to do it more. It's such a weird feeling. But when I'm at work, I do some delivery work in a van. And sometimes, like often I will just leave the van unlocked. Even if they go out of sight, I'm like, I'll leave it running, keys in.
Oh, you oh, idiot,
leaving
Josh.
It running, keys in is the biggest
really
risk of all, isn't it?
And then even when I went to pay for my petrol today, I was like, I'll leave it unlocked.
Where's your route normally?
That's but great.
Like, hypothetically?
I can walk to the pay for my petrol and come back and I don't need to lock my car.
Yeah.
Like, and it is such a distressing feeling yeah. doing that. Being like, what if something happens? Because it is a really easy thing to not do. But I don't know. Is that a good way to be like, I want to be able to leave things unlocked. I want to leave my front door unlocked. I want to leave my car unlocked every now and
then. I think so. I reckon it's a good way to be. I'd be happy with that. I think at the moment I'm selling a big cat scratcher. I've just left it out the front of my house. So if I'm at work and someone wants to come pick it up, I'll just say it's in the door. It's inside the door. But I will say to them, send us the money before. Mm. I'm not quite at that point of the money. Yeah. The money with take the object, leave the money in. I'm not quite at that point.
Yeah. Well, it depends how much it is, right? 10 yeah. bucks, you don't care.
What's your upper limit?
Probably 50. 50 feels right.
Fuck, you reckon you'd go 40?
What, maybe not. But, actually, but maybe it's like 20.
What if it was hidden under a rock?
Yeah, right. That's
how much
good.
Are you prepared to leave outside? So in the mailbox,
well, which rock?
50,
the gravel. The gravel, you mean?
If it's more than 50,
next going, to the flake.
If it's more than 50, if it's 50 or more, it's going in an envelope. Yeah. It's not loose cash.
Okay, yeah.
Are you doing loose cash?
No,
in the mailbox?
No, I don't want a snail to eat it. I don't understand. Can I just say another point on mailboxes?
Snail
so
boxes.
I moved into this place, opened the mailbox, the entire bottom, the floor of the mailbox, covered with creepy crawlies.
That's weird.
And hardened and dead.
Yeah, why do oh. why
it's
do
like a, it was
why
like a cemetery bugs, for slugs.
But bugs love letterboxes and mirrors on cars. Love them.
Yeah. They do.
They do. They really do.
Just quickly, on the delivery stuff.
We're wrapping up, aren't we?
No, one thing I just wanted to touch on before we move on is the signing system for mail and yeah. deliveries. I don't – the way people do their signatures on those, surely that is not helpful in any kind of paper trail. If you went, I didn't get the thing, they go, oh, well, we've got a scribble that says you did.
Yeah, and you go, like, no, that's a horizontal line with a hook at the end.
Right?
It's shocking.
It's like – because it should be – just give me your name and then you have the name. Forget the signature.
But this, gets onto yeah. our beef with signatures generally. They don't mean anything.
Yeah,
anymore.
I would rather like, what's your name? So then if someone goes, oh, my package, I didn't get it. You go, well, we gave it to X.
You know
right?
you know what I've... You know what
you
I've,
gave it to my ex?
You know what I've succumbed to? Online, when you're filling out like a PDF and you need to put your signature on in a PDF form... Sometimes you get that option to do like the cursive version
yeah.
of your name.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to.
Real one.
Nah. Yeah, real ones are out. It's just yeah. the cursive version.
Yeah. Which and is it, weird that like it's weird. Like this what? Faux in between of
but
like.
What do you think?
Yeah.
What would you like so, it to be? The so, signature, the digital signature? Maybe a kiss.
But it's just strange. It's just strange that your name, slightly italicized,
is a signature.
Becomes formal.
Yeah. yeah. It's nuts. It's nuts. And but what would you want, like a little, like why don't they take you a photo of you? Why does your webcam take a photo of you as that's your digital
yeah,
signature?
Yeah, surely, right? Yeah, why can't we just, do fingerprints yet?
Well, like
everyone's
a
got a fingerprint.
Oh, that's a good one.
Most people
or would have an old wax seal like we're in medieval times. That'd
we
be
could
great.
Do that. Before can I just say I just thought of this before we move on from this point about the mounds. People always seem so confident about leaving big mounds of stuff in the back of a ute and that it won't blow away. There's some physics at work here.
No, it's not physics.
There is some form of like aerodynamics at play where they go, I can have a mound of like mulch in my tray
yeah.
and it will not blow away because of something, some principle at play. What is that principle?
It's a tradie principle. Downward pressure.
It'll be the air. Yeah, the way the air flows over the back of
but
it.
Isn't that crazy?
It's good.
It's crazy, they but it's not. Doing. It's not interesting though, Christian.
Dion, I have a scenario for you.
Yes,
you are an old man.
Yep.
In a library, looking at pornography on one of the public computers.
Right.
Yeah, so the Dewey Decimal System, I still so don't clever. Really understand
so
it.
So clever.
Well,
you don't get it?
Well, I don't think I've ever understood decimal points.
Oh, yeah, that probably makes it a bit more difficult. Oh, hang on. Where's that guy looking at?
Where?
That old guy at the computers.
At my 5 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just your 5 o'clock. At your 5.2.
Oh, is that?
I think it is.
Oh, no.
The filter mustn't be working.
Oh, that's disgusting.
God.
Oh, it's one of the public computers.
You should say something to
it. Okay, I'll walk over.
Yeah.
I'll walk over. give me 15 seconds
yeah, okay.
of dead air.
Yeah.
Hi, sorry. Excuse me, sir.
Hello? Oh, sorry. I'll take off my headphones. Yes.
Yeah. Listen, we have a policy at the library that there is no pornography to be viewed on the public computers.
Well, I mean, I'm single. It's not cheating, is it?
No, no. And it's irrespective of your marital status.
Oh.
But it's just that it you can understand that the images are quite disturbing for a public space.
Look, I mean, you could understand that I've got a Surface Pro at home. And it's just not, it's not connecting. It's not connecting to the internet. I think it's called Ethernet. Ethernet's working, but the Wi-Fi's just not connecting. So I have to come to the library. And I don't mean any offence by this.
And there's no offence taken.
Are you sure? There's a lot of people looking concerned around here. And I don't want to make a big deal of it.
So, Christian, can you just close it? You haven't even got him to close it
well,
yet.
I'm in the middle of a story.
So... I appreciate...
There's a story being told.
Listen, and it is quite the yarn, but please plug the headphones back in.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, these stories are what, you know, this is what keeps Australia going. And
I just think...
There's a real estate agent.
For this guy.
She's just trying to sell a house. And this man comes in and she's just trying to sell a house to him.
Do you know where the man parked? Is that included in the story?
Yeah, it's just next to that mound of...
sir, I appreciate the good storytelling involved in this particular pornographic video.
But it's not just storytelling. It's the fashion as well. I mean, I'm a big believer in big, wide jeans.
As you can see, just from this clip here, the wide jeans have now been taken off.
Oh, but yeah. Also,
they have, haven't they?
If you would like some books on wide jeans, I can direct you to those.
Oh, I'd love some.
What I don't, but what you're doing, it's 100.3 Mix FM.
Oh, wow.
But we can't have you looking at that kind of material. But if you want to read about that kind of stuff, we can absolutely direct you in the place with some great storytelling.
Okay, I'm open to that.
Okay.
What's
can
what's
you please
the,
close it, though? You've
sure,
still got it open.
Yep, done. Closed.
Thank you.
What's the...
No. It's not a laptop.
Well, hang on, but she's...
You haven't closed anything.
But he's just... pitched $400,000 for this house. And she's just about to come back with him with a counteroffer.
It's actually pretty compelling, isn't it?
It is. I'm just a bit worried about this counteroffer.
Well, I'm actually quite invested in this now, I think.
It's in Richmond.
Wait, yeah, that's right. Local.
It's Aussie porn.
We'll turn it up.
I was at the Golden Plains Music Festival recently.
Oh, so was I. You can tell if you watch our YouTube video, I'm wearing the t-shirt.
And if you don't, it's a very engaging experience.
It's lovely.
Going to
Golden Plains. Festival. It was super incredibly hot. But one thing that happened when I was using the facilities, I was using the temporary toilets, and it made me think there were some drop toilets and then there were some like temporary ones that were more like, you know, brought in on a truck kind of thing that you'd have at other normal festivals, that kind of stuff. And it made me think, people weren't using the those ones, I think, because they were quite hot compared to the other ones, which were like more permanent structures. And it made me think, what are the, when I've been to temporary toilets, what are the things I love? What are the elements of them that I'm like, this is a great temporary toilet, this one sucks?
Just quickly, Josh, for those uninitiated, the difference between a drop toilet and a temporary toilet, what are we talking? What are the main features?
The main feature is...
got to be the flush.
Yeah, there's a flush versus no flush.
No flush.
No flush. No flush. And they're more permanent. So the drop ones are more permanent structure. They're kind of a bit nicer.
Made from wood?
Yeah, it's all... so, and you've got nice big cubicle and stuff, but and it's communal washing of your hands. Whereas the temporary ones, they were all... it's everything in one. So you've got the toilet, you've got a bit of a flush, you've got a bit of a hand wash, tiny little sink.
And you pump the water with your foot.
Yeah, using your foot.
Oh.
And so I was thinking about all the elements I like. One I really like, and I'd love to know what your ultimate temporary toilet is. What,
love to tell
what
you.
Is your favorite flushing mechanism? Because for me, what I love the most is the one with the foot pedal, and I get to choose, and I just do it, and it does... it opens it and it goes down and then it closes it when I take my foot off.
Are you saying for temporary toilets, flushing mechanism, or in general?
Temporary toilets. We're talking about your best temporary toilets. Oh, so when I put it down, water's going and the thing's open. And when I lift it, the thing closes over, water stops.
I love it. And this is going to be embarrassing, but hey, it's just three of us here. I love the drop toilet because A, I love throwing the sawdust on top of the poop.
Okay, good.
If you're doing the poop.
Which part of that do you like? Do you like? I don't like touching the handle of the sawdust. I don't mind the sawdust.
Look, we need to take germs well aside from this conversation.
What do you mean? That's the whole conversation.
No, but this is a temporary.
No, that's great. That's Dion. That I get it. Big one for Dion.
And I hope I'll get my right of reply.
You will. You are currently replying.
You just like gravel, mulch and sawdust. You just like mounds. Your whole life's dictated by mounds.
Well, this is my chance to scoop some of that mound into a little bowl.
Yeah, true.
But what someone I also else's. Like about that is the flushing mechanism means that no one else has the ability to properly flush, so the bowl itself is just a mess. There's no responsibility.
You can never get it wrong in a way.
Nah. It is an absolute free-for-all. We've all agreed this is a bit of a mess.
Yes.
Let's just keep the seat nice and clean.
Yep.
The rest of it, what a nightmare.
Yeah. I know what you mean, because the other ones, it's like the veneer of a private toilet.
Yes.
And you start with that. And I'm like, by 2 hours into the festival... It's not that anymore.
No. Do you know what? For me, it's at the time. At what point in the festival are you using both toilets? So for me, earlier in the festival, a drop toilet's a beautiful thing. Mm. It almost smells good. And I'm going to ask you guys: Do you have a little whiff, or are you constantly?
I'm sorry.
Or are you constantly? No. Do you just want to? I love the idea of going to the toilet and knowing that it doesn't stink.
Great.
So the idea that I could go to a drop toilet and have a little taste test.
Are you saying that
you're scratching I'm just the bowl. Trying
to let me understand this a bit more.
Let me understand that.
Are you saying that when you walk into the toilet, you give it a little sniff?
Not,
as in like just the air?
Not always.
And I
can't help but think you're setting me up.
No, but I actually don't know if this is an issue because in every toilet I walk into, I go to get a sense of whether it's a stinky toilet.
Yeah, I think Dion is, he just wants to know how bad it is.
Yeah.
You want to have a scale of where
I want to know how horrific it is. And if it's horrific, I'm breathing through my mouth.
You don't want naturally occurring. You want to get a big sniff in when you're
not a big sniff, a tiny sniff.
A tiny sniff.
Dion's doing different lines in the toilet.
No. So Josh, when you're going to one of those toilets, you're not smelling it at all.
You do smell it. You can't help but smell it.
No, you can help but smell it. You know how you do it? You shut off your nose.
I would rather not breathe through my mouth in a stinky toilet. Because
me too, but that doesn't mean you don't smell it.
Through the nose.
Doesn't mean you don't smell it. Anyway,
moving on to other components. What's your favorite flushing mechanism?
Oh, favorite flush. Well, early in a festival, just dropping
just
it into
best,
an open
best,
space.
Best one you could imagine.
Oh my god, I like the pump. It's pretty fun. I'm pretty scared of the airline ones. Too loud.
Push it.
But yeah, foot pump.
Oh, actually, but they're not temporary. You don't have them in temporary ones.
No. So we can't discuss that.
No.
I hate it because you never are given a toilet brush. In a temporary toilet.
So if you
make a mess and then you're flushing and you can't get good velocity on the water
flow.
But
that's why the ones with the shelf and stuff are good.
What shelf?
They've got shelves. Oh. The shelf opens and it drops away and the shelf closes.
Yeah, but what if it doesn't drop away? What if it wasn't as simple as...
We're getting in the weeds now.
Yeah. So it's a small load. Maybe one cubic meter as opposed to two.
How about for the hand washing station? What are your? I'd like the inbuilt hand washing station. I think that's nice to have in there.
Nah.
But I like a one that is a you press it and then it goes on for like 2 seconds and then stops.
What do you think of those? Christian?
Really? Yeah, I like that. Just like, but give me a button or something to press, it'll go on for 2 seconds and it shuts itself off.
So one of the most frustrating experiences in South America was they have these taps where you have to lean the back of your hand against the top of it to get the water to flow out. So you could never get your hands properly underneath the tap.
Why do you think they've
opted
for that?
So you always have to be connecting with it to get the water to flow out because people probably left the
taps on.
But why that design? It's a weird design.
It is a very strange design. I hated it. For that reason, I want a constant flow.
So you want to be
total control. Rather be, if it's a temporary toilet, I'd rather be pumping a constant flow. Even if it's like squirt, squirt,
you
squirt.
You want total control with the foot pump.
That's correct.
Okay.
What about the floor? Like, is the disgustiness of the toilet determined by the floor? Because I don't really care that much what goes on the soles of my shoes, I've realised. Doesn't really bother me.
I want a bit of space. I don't like the ones that are built up around where you're like sitting on an angle. I want to be sitting straight on, front on, with plenty of like floor space in case I've got a backpack or something I need to put down, that kind of stuff.
Are you cleaning the seat?
If it's visibly.
Are you making contact with the seat?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Always?
If they had some type of antiseptic spray.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be my ideal temporary toilet. Good.
What about the toilet paper dispensing mechanism? What are you yearning for?
The worst ones, I don't even know if they're around anymore, but the worst ones are those, the cardboard rectangular packet squares.
Like the packet that you pull out of the packet?
They're disrespectful.
How do they think my ass, what do they think my ass is made of?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think my ass is made of?
I mean, you don't use the cardboard rectangle. You use the sheets inside.
Oh, you're kidding me. But they're ridiculous. Like, are there instructions on that thing? Like, use 3 or 4 at a time.
No.
It's not use one.
I know, right?
Imagine using one of those.
Just make it 6-ply and be done with
it. You look at it and it's ripped.
If I could quickly segue away from temporary toilets, all toilets need to be bidets. That's it.
Oh, okay, that's just, they're
wiping
so
your
good.
Bottom with toilet paper is barbaric compared to spraying it with water.
But hang on. Do you use, when there's a bidet for an option, do you use it? Because I will use it pretty much every time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. As a shower as well, it's great. Wait, would you actually use it?
Yes. I'm sold on the bidet.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Big bidet boy.
For me, the toilet paper, I've come around to, just give me the biggest roll you can.
Yeah.
And I will sort it out. Just, I don't care if it doesn't need to fit in a thing. Just as big as you can so it's never going to run out.
You don't want, I don't.
I love that.
Yeah, so you'd be happy if there was an enormous roll on the floor as you walked in.
Oh, maybe.
And it was a little bit wet. So one part of it was wet the whole way through.
That sucks.
Here's a question for you. When do you feel rushed in the toilet?
I feel, I've waited in that line for as long as I have.
Yep.
I will take as long as I need.
But that in context, Josh, and I imagine the toilets you're going to, there's like 30 in a line.
Yeah, so you don't really feel like, if there was like 2, right? You'd probably feel a bit more pressure.
And I hate that experience. I hate that. Because if you've got a long wipe situation and you're in a 2 cubicle, I'm just thinking about, well, what if the person next to me is having a really luxurious poo?
They're on
their phone. The pressure's on me to move.
I went in first.
But you're never going to have it's never going to be a pleasant poo in a temporary toilet, is it?
Nah, it's very functional.
It's functional.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes at home, I mean, poos can be very pleasant.
Oh, so pleasant. Yeah, very.
I don't know how I've heard.
Gracious experiences.
Are there any other elements to it that you guys love to see? The other thing I love is a flat surface. Just give me some sort of flat surface. I can put a drink down. Sometimes it'd be that there's nothing flat to put it on.
It'd be nuts to put anything down in that environment.
That's what I mean. You want a shelf or something.
But why would you put everything? There's so much stuff has gone on that shelf. Other bottles? Other bottles that have gone to the toilet? I wouldn't touch anything in there. I'm trying to touch the least number of things as possible. Yeah.
I end up just putting my can on the ground.
It's got to be.
Josh, can I say to you, this is to support Dion's point. And can I, for anyone listening, this might be a little blue. It's not going to be super blue.
Okay.
It's our first trigger warning.
Yeah. I'm giving everyone a heads up.
Flash warning.
It's about urine on a keep cup. So if you don't want to hear that story.
Look away now.
This week I went into the office and peed at a urinal, individual urinal. And for some reason, because there was no flat surface to put anything down, I tried to balance it on the edge of a tap faucet, and it wasn't doing it. I was like, I was trying to do it on the top, and I was like, that's not working. So I just put it on the ground next to me.
It's got to be a no.
And I watched as I started peeing. I was like, of course, the pee bounces right off the ceramic fucking urinal, and I could just see these little speckles on my keep cup lid, and I was like, I'm pissing on my keep cup lid.
So what did you do?
I kept peeing, and then I
checked the cup.
Yeah.
You got it.
I washed the lid pretty hard.
Yeah. Was it closed?
It was closed.
Likely, yeah. Thank God. Yeah. But in terms of that hygiene at a music festival or camping, it's not an easy thing to get right. But yeah, I remember, Christian, we went camping once. I think we might have talked about this, where we set up our own drop dunny. And I'm very simple with a toilet. All I need is just a structure to sit on. That's it, a structure. Yes. I'm not going to squat. Squatting sucks.
We bought the granny toilet
seat. The granny toilet
goes
seat.
Over, yeah, to
did
support.
You buy that or did you steal it?
No, it was from one of our grandparents.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
For the weekend.
What did they do?
They held it in. I think for me, I really want toilet paper. I want to know that there's a reserve of toilet paper there.
Do you like the big giant one?
I prefer a traditional roll
okay.
With the knowledge with that there's support rolls.
Yeah. Yeah. They're supporting roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The one wrapped in blue.
Really, really good. You know what's really, really good? Really, really good. You know what's really, really good?
Do you know what's really good? Taking a big shit.
Oh my God.
Really good.
Really good. Really good.
Really good. Really good. You know what's really good? When the fly trapped in your home immediately leaves as you open a door for it.
Oh, that's so really good.
Really good.
Really good.
Really good. Do you know what's really good? When you cut off a loose thread and it doesn't get any worse.
Oh, that's really good.
Really good.
Really good. Really good. You know what's really good.
Thank you so much for listening to what I would call it a gutter episode. We covered porn, we covered piss, we covered shit, and we covered someone with mulch and gravel and you know, all that sort of stuff. Look, it's lovely being back. But it's lovely also performing at the Comedy Festival, isn't it, Josh?
It is. Last chance to catch Escape to the Megaverse, our Game Boys show. We've got the rest of this weekend, you've got a chance to see the show. Jump to the Comedy Festival website. Look up Game Boys. Look up Escape to the Megaverse. I talk too quickly?
No. It is so good.
It's great.
Dion and I saw it about a week or so ago, and the rewrites... Bloody hell. If you saw the first one, you need to see it again.
It's pretty much a new show.
It's like a new show.
Bring a friend, introduce them to Game Boys and then to Patchwork and then back
come
to Game
and
Boys.
Also, come have a chat after the show.
Also, the other half of Game Boys, Eden, was on Survivor.
Yeah.
Come and meet a celebrity and Josh.
And as usual, you can join our Patreon. We haven't spruced Patreon for a while. If you go to patreon.com/welcome to Patchwork, you get a bonus patch in the off week. Usually they're better than this crap.
Let me say, when you take 7 months off, you bleed Patreon.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yes, head to patreon.com/welcome to Patchwork. If you're a big supporter of the show, you can join for as little as a couple of bucks a month. And
follow on all the socials, Welcome to Patchwork across the board. Little tidbits, we post stuff from the episode, stuff we talked about every now and again. But yeah, jump on board, a little bit more extra comms from us.
Yes. Actually, we posted some good photos a couple of weeks ago from all of us, but you'll have to join our Instagram to see that. And as we do in every patch, we sew a new patch into our quilt of friendship. Josh! What patch did you sew into our quilt this week?
Thank you, Dion. Thank you, Dion. My patch this week was a pile of mulch making a dummy beard at Dion's auction. Christian.
I reckon that's one of the best we've ever had.
Yeah, yeah.
Well done.
Christian, what patch did you sew this week?
It doesn't matter, does it? This week, I sewed into my patch a tradesman shoveling some dead bugs into my letterbox from the enormous untouched mound in his ute tray. And Dion, what did you sow into your pitch this week?
My patch this week is actually Christian undermining my auction by dumping a cubic meter of sawdust on someone who's just placed a bid. So very similar to Josh, just delivered a little less well. Thank you for listening to Welcome to Patchwork for another week. I've been Dion.
I've been Josh.
And I've been Christian.
Goodbye.
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 This podcast was self-produced by Welcome to Patchwork and edited by Josh Porter. The theme song and additional original music was composed by Christian Pissasali.
Wetness check. 1, 2, 3.
Who's got it bad?
Me.
I feel... Am I the worst?
I think Dion's the worst.
You're not the worst. Oh, yours doesn't show up.
Good. I think Dion... CP's come out good. You've come out real good.
Sorry, great. Let it roll.